Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Ernest, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now.
Let's talk about some stocks, shall we?
Yes.
Nancy Pelosi is up on her NVIDIA position for the year. So what other politicians should we look at and mimic their investments and trades?
I got a couple that I want to mention. Brian Higgins. So he invested heavily in Micron and NVIDIA. He outpaced Nancy Pelosi. We see a continued theme of the semiconductor space being invested in. Mark Green is another one. And then Garrett Graves. He invested heavily into Coinbase. So I know Nancy gets all the credit for having the highest returns. People forget that her husband was invested in a hedge fund many decades ago. And I know it's not the most popular take, but if she's reporting the trades and getting away with, she found a loophole to be able to make a lot of money while she's in that seat. But there are probably 8 or 9 politicians that are outpacing her. I talked about a few sites before, but just Google political trades or political investments. You have a few sites that comes up. Corverquant is one of them that'll come up, and just track their trades and follow. Go look at their track record. Some of them are up 200-300%. Follow what they're doing. And then if you see they're invested in a sector that is doing well, like the chip space, I would mirror those trades in 2024 to get paid as they get paid.
So you said Coinbase and NVIDIA?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marguerite invested in a ticker ET, which is great. But Micron, which is one people have slept on for a while. If you get it at the right price and you, like JC talked about it last week, if you layer your options a certain way, you can get 500-600% return in 4 or 5 months. Trading has considerable risk. Please consult your advisors. But the big lesson I want to continue to stress in this episode is follow what people are doing with the most money, whether it's hedge funds, politicians, companies, municipalities. Follow what they're doing at the top to make your investing job a lot easier.
Does it get tricky though? Right. We could follow them, but when we talk about, especially a company like Micron, we talk about NVIDIA, I'm sure they're investing in others. When there's a CHIPS Act that is signed,
yeah,
and they might have invested prior to that, then it becomes, right? Like there's an issue there, right? Even like an infrastructure bill, if I start seeing, right, an infrastructure gets pilled, bill gets passed in 2021 yep. or 2022, and then you start to see, you know, industrials go up, right? And then you start to see individual companies that the government is now contracted. Like, is it,
this is the way business has always been done. To be honest,
yeah.
That's the way business has always been done. Like, right. The thing is to not lie about it, or if you don't report it, is when you get in trouble. But this is why I keep saying, like, if Apple spends a certain amount of time at the White House, or if Elon has a conflict with Biden, that is going to have an impact on Tesla stock. So if they're spending a certain amount of time at the White House, or they're favorable with senators or governors, it is going to have a positive impact on the stock. I may next week want to make a case for Dara being one of the best turnaround CEOs. After mm-hmm. we saw him at the White House, I went and looked. I said, these numbers are on par. But yeah. Him being there also tells me they may be okay for the next 4 or 5 years. Visa's on a tear. Had a chance to see him. CEO of Visa. Like, there's a correlation between what the government is doing and then what the companies are going to do, and especially if they have some kind of business dealings or a cozy relationship amongst one another. Does it suck? Is it unfair? Yes. But this is the way the business has always been done.
Yeah, but we can follow that trail too, right? And I've said this plenty of times, and I'm sure we've covered it throughout the years. If there's the CHIPS Act in specifically was designed to have chips made here in America, right? We saw what the shortage of having chips did during the pandemic. And so one of the ways to combat that was to create the CHIPS Act here in America, right? And so follow the companies that are fighting for that. And so if you see a company like ASML and then building foundries here, and you see TSM building in Arizona, or you start to see these companies saying, all right, well, there's an incentive to now build here. There's tax incentives. Let's do it here. A company like Global Foundries, which we spoke about before, who's doing it here in New York. You can follow that trail of companies that are vying for it. In fact, in New York State, you know, the IBM was in talks to try to figure out how they can partner, or Intel's in talks in another state to figure out how they can partner to bring semis here. And so you can follow those pieces, because they know there's an incentive if they do it, right? And that only helps from a domestic standpoint, where we don't have to outsource to get the chips. So we can get them here, then there's more, and then it's going to be less expensive to get them. So follow those paper trails.
And regulatory filings are, and the government is a market maker. So if the CHIP Act gets pushed, or hypothetically, if China tries to invade Taiwan and then they blow up the TSM building as a event.
No, please no.
But then another
it's
thing
on is, topic.
Another thing too is I said this last year as far as QQQ. I was like, look, this technology thing is only going to get bigger and bigger, and artificial intelligence is taking over the world. And even if you don't want to put all your eggs in one basket, it's a high probability that QQQ is gonna go crazy just based off of the landscape. Of everything that we're hearing is all based on artificial intelligence and technology. And I mean, if you look at the 52-week low for QQQ, it was $281, and it's at 200 and $422 now.
Yeah, $422. Yep.
For ETF, that's crazy. And
that's insane.
And we should start doing like how Kai Cenat does, where he has like videos that play. Mike, make a note of that. Because when we was on a Breakfast Club, the first time we was on a Breakfast Club, actually, and I had mentioned at that time I had a call for QQQ for, I think it was like 350, and was saying like, you know, what do you think the probability of QQQ reaching 350 over the course of 2 years? That was 3 years ago. So what I'm saying is this. We just came from Davos, and we got a lot of insight on, you know, where the world is headed. You have to invest at your own risk, but it's a high probability that these
certain things are there, guaranteed. Let's say it.
These chip stocks are going to continue to go up. The good ones and the Qs are going to continue to go up. These trillions of dollars getting pumped into, when you see Meta talking about they're going to spend billions of dollars on NVIDIA chips over the next couple of years. This is not a bubble.
It's not a fad.
No, not a fad. Artificial intelligence is not a bubble. Will we be talking about it 24 hours a day? Probably not. But as far as the technology is here, it's only going to get more and more persuasive in the day-to-day use of everybody's lives. All these technology companies are going to invest billions of dollars into artificial intelligence. You would be doing yourself a tremendous disservice if you wasn't invested in tech, if you wasn't invested in these chip companies. And like I said, you could even take the ETF route if you want to just do the Qs. Over the course of the next 10 years, it would be extremely high probability that you'll see returns. You'll see returns if you're invested in technology. QQQ, SMH, NVIDIA, Microsoft.
All have been called here.
Yeah.
What is it costing you not to do it? And AMD, AMD was on a hell of a run.
I was going to go there. Yeah. I'm glad you brought up the Zuckerberg part, because I don't want that to go over people's heads. You're talking about the CEO of Meta, who's on an interview saying that they are going to buy 350,000 H100 chips from NVIDIA.
That's insane.
350,000. Now that might sound like that's a lot, but when you realize the cost of these chips, the average chip, right, on a low end is 16,000 for one. Third party markets have it up to 40,000. So let's just say they get it for an average of 20,000. You're talking about $7 billion. That's just Meta, right? How does Microsoft respond? How does Apple respond? Think about all these companies that are using these chips and going to buy them in bulk. Now, here's the interesting part is that that's for the H100. In 6 to 12 months, they might be announcing the H200, right? Yep. Which they weren't even allowed to sell in China, but they will be able to sell in America and other countries. What's the price tag on that? How fast can they produce those? And so you're talking about billions of dollars that is going to be brought in revenue. And that's where a company like AMD comes in, right? Because if these chips are selling for $20,000, well, can they come in with a semi that undercuts that price? Yeah. They not perform as fast, right? And for companies that can't spend that type of money, but they can have a price point that maybe comes in underneath it that can serve a different type of business, right? Maybe, you know, you're not a $1 trillion company like the ones we named, but you need the service, right? You just can't afford it at that price point. So AMD has a role to play in this as well. So I like them too.
Also too, like if you're looking at going back to the innovation part, the main reason why a lot of companies are jumping or accelerating this bandwagon is one of the few things that America's innovated on is this chip space, when we don't have a lot of other things that we've created over the last 5 or 10 years to get, like, it was a social media push for 10 years. Crypto didn't pan out. And I'm not going to say it didn't pan out, but like what VCs put into it, they overinflated it and then it fell, because a few years over at Davos, the big thing was crypto, and then things slid back. Now AI and its chips are going to help accelerate both spaces. You have to invest for the long term. Like, I don't know how else to put it. Shout out to those of you in Red Panda who've been to AMD since 21 and 40. We've called all these companies out, but I am begging you to invest in these, or you're going to be really upset in the next 4 or 5 years that you missed out. And some of you may miss out on 5, 6, 700%. by not executing. If I've made you money, please put yes in chat. Investing is not that fucking hard.
Yeah,
just buy the best sectors and buy the best too.
In 21, I exercised an option on AMD for 5 contracts. So I had 500 shares. And so it cost me money to get them. And at that time, AMD was at $139.
Yep.
In 2022, AMD dropped to $72. And so I started saying, oh my gosh, why did I exercise this option? But in my mind, when I did it, I said, I'm thinking about this company long-term.
Long-term.
Yep. Right. I could have made the $40,000 and taking that intrinsic value and selling the option. But I said, nah, this is a good price point for it. I think I had the call at $75. Let me do it here. Let me get the 500 shares. I did that. You look at today, AMD is at $170. $172. That's the power of patience. That's the power of believing in your game plan and sticking to it.
Yep. It was at $12 in 2018.
We're in a tech revolution. The last time this happened was .com boom.
Yep.
It's happened 3 times in history so far. The invention of the internet, the .com boom, and now this. And they're saying this is going to be bigger than any the prior to. And even when Sam Altman, he said it in Davos, where you look at ChatGPT 2 to ChatGPT 4, it's night and day.
Yeah,
it's night and day. So it's like the amount, the progress that's being made in a short period of time is unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, man, this is something that, like I said, I would highly suggest that you would be invested in technology. This is the gold rush, and it's going to last for about 10 years.
And the difference between the dot-com bubble and now, it was a lot of fool's gold in that market. It wasn't a lot of great companies that was generating revenue. Like OpenAI is probably worth more than every company with the exception of Amazon in that dot-com boom. Like you said, the evolution from ChatGPT 2 to 4, it would have taken some companies 10, 15 years. They've innovated inside of 2 or 3 years. Like, I am begging you guys, like, the proof is in the pudding. The returns are there. It's talked about globally. Please do not miss this wave.
And
I know some of you asking about SMCI and ASML. Pick the ones that you believe in once you do your research on them. And invest heavily in them. It's going to cost you millions if you don't do so.
And once again, it's never a good idea to just throw all your money into a stock that's at an all-time high. So I'm not saying that, but dollar cost average over the course of time, stocks will pull back. Just because there's a pullback doesn't mean that it's a collapse. Yeah, just have patience. But over the long term, you have to consistently put money into these stocks. Over the next 5 years. The next 5 years is probably the most important time in human history.
I agree. Especially on a net return basis too.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to see a lot of growth and a lot of innovation because it's not outside of, like, energy is getting destroyed right now. Healthcare, tech, and communications are the only 3 spaces that really matter sector-wise for the United States of America. And if you're missing out, it's going to cost. I am begging you, like, please do not miss. Because as some of you who've been watching since 2020 and you messaged me this weekend, like, hey, I missed out. What should I do?
Yeah.
To tech, to in-tech. I can't tell you anything else.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough when
you have to start putting the money in.
When is the time? And then we put up a post saying we've officially hit the bull market. And people are saying, well, when's the time? Well, now study the history of bull markets. How long did they last? What was the longest one? How long is the shortest one? Yep. And so you can kind of figure out, you know what, this might be the time for me, right? Because everybody's situation is going to be different. But the S&P has hit an all-time high. NASDAQ is approaching the Dow. Do we want it at the all-time highs? No, not realistically.
No, but even Frank talked about it earlier. You're at the all-time high from here, we normally end up 12% up higher. Like,
higher than that, yep.
Go read Money Master to get at, go read any book from Warren Buffett or Charlie Munger. Like, the market is permanently rigged to stay up, because if our market collapses for a 4-year cycle, we'll enter into a global depression. They're not going to let that happen.